podcast has changed my life.
That is lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be back.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
This is not funny!
To some degree, I think maybe I could do something sneaky and with a shot. I think they...
That's so funny that you're... Because my instinct is always sneaky too. Whenever I think of a fight, I always think, I reckon I could trick my way into...
And that is the beauty of never having been in one. Is I don't even know the first what's what. But people are ducking and weaving and diving and squeezing and like,
I feel squeezing.
Like if you got lucky, you could do something. Mm. And that's why the balls are so interesting.
What balls?
The human balls.
The balls.
They're beautiful.
I feel like the human balls are God's, like the Achilles heel is like a metaphor.
I reckon that the human balls are the Achilles heel of the balls.
Well, the scrotum is the Achilles heel of the balls.
No, do you know what
the balls is the Achilles heel of the body.
The banjo except string is the Achilles heels of the dick.
See, I don't like talking about banjo strings.
Because you don't have one. You're a ukulele man.
Banjo string is the tiniest sitar. Instrument in specific regions of India, they use it. Only some people can see it. That's what my penis
It's a
says.
Translucent nylon string.
And it breaks really
easy. Yeah, I don't like banjo string talk too. Have you talked about that on this before?
I don't think I'll tell anyone about that.
People love it when you...
you can imagine, you could put two and two together what the story is, though.
I reckon you may as well tell it.
What is it? You just broke?
Yeah, once it just had a bit of a... It broke. I had to restring it.
How much pain?
I had to restring his banjo. Man.
Yeah. And then I had to...
See, I don't like this. that's the normal thing. I would usually like that, but I don't like
it. It took 7 weeks to retune it. To put it back into tune.
Was it 7 weeks for that play?
Yeah. No, it wasn't. It was... I didn't do it badly.
You snuck on the field for a couple of little plays.
You said... Till the play, and I was like, "That was in a play where he was wanking."
Well, that's where he snapped his banjo string.
I
was in the theater.
Yeah. I directed it, and it was a very. It was
you were there when it snapped.
Yeah, only one performance. Yeah, okay. And it was private performance.
People were shocked, and they were crying in
was
the audience.
The undressed rehearsal.
we did the undressed rehearsal at my house,
and it was crazy.
It went really badly. Yeah. So we never got to do the full production. So I was hoping we could do it today, if Sam still remembers.
A return season.
I think I remember some of your lines. Maybe something like, wasn't that
so ouch, ouch, ouch. This really hurts.
That's lots of that. And it's right.
Call an ambulance, stuff like that.
Help. Let me see yours. Ouch.
Does yours look like this? Yeah.
Well, no, not like that.
It didn't hurt that much.
Okay.
But it was the sheer amount of blood was the most... was the crazy...
Yeah, because Tom doesn't like this.
I don't understand how it's piercing the skin.
No,
I thought it was an internal issue.
No, you see, you don't even know what the banjo string is.
Think the banjo string is? What did you think the banjo string was?
This feels like year seven. What do you think the banjo string is?
Like the longest pube?
Whatever, you go and then I'll be saying it.
I remember once there was a kid in our year, Tim something, and one day everyone was crowding around him and I came over and they were just asking him what the scrotum was, and he didn't know.
Oh, that
was
hard. They're
like, "What's a scrotum, Tim?" And he was like, "I know what it is." And they're like, "What is it?" And he said, and I actually think his answer was really good. He said, "It's the dick around your balls." And I reckon that's true.
Yeah. It's either.
I think that's what it is.
It's the same material.
Yeah.
And it's also, that's, if you like, someone who has an intimate knowledge of it, that's like such an artful way to describe it.
It really
if
is.
You know. It's also what someone says if they don't know. You know what I mean? It's the end of both.
That's actually beautiful. And did he get bullied for that?
Yeah, everyone said it for a long time. Years and years. And then now, if you want to check in on him, he is the leader of the squadron for the Newcastle Jets. He's in the...
The squadron. The squadron.
Yeah, the fans.
Oh, their football team.
Yeah.
Oh.
So if you want to check in on him, if you anyone here knows Newcastle Jets,
as in
and you're
up
at
the front
game,
stands in the game.
Yeah. Like, leads the charge.
That
of
would
all
be
the
a great. I mean, that's one of the most heckleable positions you could have in society is the guy at the front.
Hey, dick around the ball. Yeah, dick,
yeah. But usually, if you said someone's job, I'd be like, don't yell at him.
I think that's why he's always trying to start chants. to get people to silence the heck.
Well, he's used to people yelling at him.
Yeah.
He's a professional people yelling at him guy from school. People are like, idiot. He's like, I like this.
Come on, louder, guys.
Yeah, and all together.
Do you guys know who Joffer is? The Collingwood guy?
No.
So he's in charge of the Collingwood cheer squad. Mm. And so he has this gold jacket. And when they're about to win, he puts the gold jacket on. And everyone knows in the stadium that means Collingwood are home because of this guy. And he's like this. Like, just bogan dude with like blonde hair. So
he would have done that like once and then the next.
Yeah, and then he was on like, and then for years he was on like the club paid him and stuff and flew him around. Like, he was on
the show. Come on.
But he's been in the news the last week.
Don't tell me he's got a dark past.
Well, he's got
a dark present.
Well, my dad's partner gave me his autobiography once and I was like, I don't want this.
This guy wrote a book?
Yeah, about his life.
What is it? Chapter one, I went to a football game.
When I was a little boy, when it was cold, my mum always said, take a jacket with you. And I have heard a thing.
That's the title of the memoir. Always bring a jacket.
You don't want to take it off.
It's one of the shorter books. It's up there with Chappelle Corby's book for sure. Like, you could read it on a train trip to Newcastle for sure.
Holy
it's
shit.
It's real short. But anyway, he's been in the news because he did a tweet being like, because there was that internal review into Collingwood's issues and how they've dealt with
structural racism.
Systematic racism. Yes, yes, yes.
Eddie McGuire out.
Out.
Joffa in.
Oh, come on, Tom.
Are you A, fired? Yeah, no, that's it, actually. Take that, Eddie.
So he did a tweet being like, this will take years for Collingwood. We're being tarnished by it. This will take years for us to recover.
Mm.
But kind of being like, you know, we need to be better. Then the next day he tweeted, I think it was like, we need to sack all the Indians working in aged care to fix the situation.
Oh, I saw someone sharing that. That was him. That was the beloved...
And he's the cheer squad guy.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he's...
You know what I reckon? Maybe the lesson here is we shouldn't elevate the voices of just these random cunts.
He's not a random cunt. He's got an autobiography.
I don't give a shit. He wore a jacket a few times.
I thought you were going to say the working class.
Oh, and the working class. Let's keep them quiet. Because they have some opinions.
We can't pick randoms. We need to vet them over years and make sure they're boring.
Get them into the system.
Exactly.
Make them middle class. Yes.
Question number one, when they're young, describe the scrotum. What is it? If they answer that correctly, they're allowed to have boys.
And that's the beauty of that description, because it's funny but it's not offensive.
Yeah.
Oh, it's such a nice... It sounds like a Bob Dylan song or something. Like.
Well, don't go too far. Come on.
The dick around my balls.
I love it when people say it sounds like a thing.
No, it does.
It doesn't.
No, it sounds like it could be something nice. Maybe not a Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan might be far, but like, what's that white thrift shop rapper?
Oh
man, I don't know. I'm out of the loop.
The thrift shop guy. Yeah,
I'm
it was in the hottest 100.
Some tags.
$20 in my pack.
Oh yeah, I know that.
The same love guy,
Macklemore.
It could be a Macklemore song.
Yes. Stick around the balls.
Stick around the balls.
Yeah, that could be a Macklemore.
I mean,
so
a huge
can
step
we
down
acknowledge
from Bob Dylan.
How different those musicians are. One is probably the most lauded and respected singer-songwriter of all time, and one is a widely panned rapper from 2013.
Absolutely not, Tom. I think what's happened here, Bob Dylan's early work very much celebrated.
Yes.
Everything he's released at the end, people don't really like it as much. Macklemore just going the opposite path. Mm. Everything he's releasing early in his career, people don't really like it. It's not celebrated. But he hasn't released
the
good stuff yet.
It's coming.
People will be like, when his career is done, they'll be like equal with Dylan.
Mm. Okay, but just different ends of the
different
career.
Ends. Yeah, they just flipped it.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a prediction, and I bet you $1 million that's not true.
Whoa! But you have to lay some money down on the table.
Someone had a good week in crypto.
Yeah, how do we know that you even are good for that?
I'm down, it's scary.
If you're betting $1 million, you need to at least put, I reckon, $100,000 on the table right now.
You've got to have a bit. 10%, like a house deposit.
Yeah, totally. I mean, this is the trouble with bets like this, is that they can never become false until he's dead. Because you could always say, oh, it's next year. You know what I mean? Even if Macklemore's 80, you can always be like, oh, can't wait for the big. If he did a good enough album when he's 81. So yeah, if he dies, then you owe me.
No, but, well, I haven't agreed to it yet.
Yeah.
I think it's a bad bet for me.
No, exactly.
Yeah, I'm not going to take the bet.
You know what? It's Fair a bad enough. Bet, but it's a good podcast hook.
Mm.
So I reckon if you guys keep that up, maybe change the name of the podcast to Macklemore's Going to Get
to
Good
Macklemore's
or something.
Macklemore's Going to Get Good. If not, I owe Tom Cashman $1 million.
Yeah, and keep it going till you're 90. I reckon that's a hit.
That's better than the good stuff.
But then the thing you would need to promise not to do, because I you're... A
man about
relatively
town.
Influential person. I don't know.
What?
But you could skew it. You used to work at MTV. You could get in touch with people and be
insider
like,
trade.
I reckon a good review wouldn't go astray of this good
Can
Macklemore
I say something?
Oh, my God.
If I had that kind of power, I would do it for my own career. Or, I'm like, I reckon we should get behind this Sam Taunton
okay,
guy.
Hottest 100 this year. Sam Taunton's...
bed
sheet bit. Wow, number one.
In Hyde Park. Yeah. It's so much better since they changed it from Australia Day.
How good would it be if they did a hottest 100 of bits?
Yes.
Every year national.
Well, this is not bad an idea. I mean, it'd have to be a big publication. What was that big comedy? Squirrel or something. That was a comedy.
Squirrel comedy.
They
Yorp. Yorp. Yorp magazine.
Yorp. I remember like Yorp magazine.
It's like the Bob Dylan of comedy reviewing.
But they could do it. But maybe it's a chortle job. Or
chortle
something.
do like after Edinburgh Fringe, they'll do like the top jokes. But they're often not
I
good.
Want 100.
They're not.
I know I want exactly. it to be fan voted.
But also they're the ones that kind of translate well in print. So they're often one-liners just like, you know, they're not actually the best. But like the recordings. That could be a bit closer to...
So yeah, we play the full four-minute bit on the radio.
Every comic
it's
could
just
submit
all crowd
their
work.
Bit.
It's like, you had to be there. He had a weird this yellow shirt on. Yeah. He's killing.
How long have you guys been together? Oh, don't look at her.
Umbilical Brothers would be fucked if it was the radio. Just weird laughter for the 4 minutes. And occasionally
edited.
Be like...
It's not edited.
Yeah. Occasionally...
Did people did losing their minds?
Oh, he's drinking in that bit.
Yeah.
I remember
someone
that.
Have to do commentary over Yeah, what's happening
he's
now?
He's having a sip.
Yeah, they pretend to be small elephants. They look good.
I know I say
it's
that.
Quite funny.
But you can't even really picture what that even is. They've got their hands over their ears. And it's silly. It's good.
Do you remember the Strepsil ads those guys did?
It was
not Strepsil.
It was Vicks Vapo, whatever it's called. It was Vicks, those Vicks
Vapo rub,
lollies.
Vapo
do you know?
Oh, Vapo Drops.
It was
Vapo
huge, drops, and they did like some stuff.
Yeah, they did bits on the
that's
app.
What I mean. And I reckon that's been the problem for every comedian since then. Whenever someone wants you to do something, they're like, oh, just do some like bits. Or
yeah,
do
I remember the
fun.
Umbilical Brothers did bits on
they did
TV.
Bits.
On
it's
ads.
Like, no, you shouldn't have to write and bring your own bits to it.
But then that's nice because that's often what happens with like sport. Like you'll be watching the cricket, for example, and then there'll be an ad for car batteries. And instead of just being like, you know, we've got Mark Taylor here and he endorses our car batteries. I mean, to be honest, there are some of them.
There's heaps of them.
There's a lot of them.
There's one that I see on SBS On Demand every day.
I'm actually
day.
Describing a specific one.
And it is Mark Waugh.
Yeah. Oh, is that Mark Waugh, is it?
Yeah. It's horrible.
But yeah, oh, they're often standing next to like Fuji...
no, Taylor does Fujitsu.
Yeah, Fujitsu.
Fujitsu, Australia's favourite air.
But often they try and work the sport into, like they just shoehorn it into the brand. So it'll be like chips and then someone will chuck their friend some chips and then someone will like play it like a cricket bat.
Yeah, true.
And that's,
classic
so
creative.
That, by putting, stand-up, it's shoehorning them into the product in the same way. It's like you're getting the same respect as sport.
Or actually, Seinfeld did... an ad. He's only ever done like two ads ever.
Yeah, what was it for?
It was out here. They shot it in Australia. Well, actually, that's technically not true, but I can tell you about this because it was for the Newcastle Permanent Building Society. It was either Newcastle Permanent.
No, Horizon Credit Union, wasn't it?
It was a credit union, but it was like a local one to the Hunter.
Like
it was like Nova Credit Union.
What are you
or something.
Talking about?
Like dude,
Greater Credit Union or something. It's like
I remember. I swear it was but it was a small
like
credit
back in
union.
The day.
No,
like 6 years ago, seven years ago.
I swear to God.
I don't know if he came here or it was
No. I can tell you because they shot it in Newcastle.
It was like green screen
of him
in the Hunter.
Jerry Seinfeld
no,
to
I don't
Newcastle.
Reckon they flew.
No, but that's what I'm telling you. It was the Greater Building Society, right? Which is a Newcastle band like credit union.
I don't even think their ads are on like Sydney free to air.
No.
I think that's like
I've never
local.
Heard of it.
You have to
like
you have to live
Win
in Newcastle
News
on
or
Win.
Something. Yeah,
so
Win.
The opening of the ad, and I know
Jerry.
About this. because they made the meeting, such a like
must have been like shut up.
They made such a big deal of like Jerry Seinfeld, but they shooting this ad. He's coming to Newcastle to shoot it. So everyone was talking about it, and the truth of the matter is that they green screened him in. But they shot like the opening of the ad is like Beaumont Street in Newcastle. So you see, and you're like, that's my town, and then it like zooms in, and you see Jerry standing in front of one of the banks with a microphone.
No,
and he's like,
stand up.
And he's like, what's the deal with banks? And
I remember,
like,
I remember it.
And he does like gear, which is like, you know, you put your money in the bank and they they keep your money. Like he's doing a bit.
Newcastle, castles are old.
And you're like, whoa, I can't believe it. He's in Newcastle. He's not. He's just in a studio in LA. Yeah. But isn't that fucking insane?
Still, it's crazy.
Because it's Newcastle.
It's Newcastle.
It's a local bank.
How did they have enough money?
I don't know.
Who was the hero that, like, believed?
I guess the bank disappeared because they took all the money and fucking got Seinfeld.
But how did the person that first went, is like, oh, we should try to get Jerry Seinfeld for this. And like, oh, no, no, no.
They got laughed at. And they went,
it's like, we wouldn't be able to get, like, Lawrence Mooney. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's too high up. And they're like, no, I'll just inquire about Jerry. Like, he might be free.
I wonder why he said yes. I've never looked into it.
Sometimes this stuff, people do things because they go through a divorce and they need money all of a sudden. But he's so rich, he would never need the money. Maybe he believed in the cause.
But did Citibank?
Let's
they
look it
didn't.
Up.
He passed on Citibank, like ANZ. Any?
I think he, maybe he would have liked that.
I found an article in the Newcastle Herald from 2009. The headline is Seinfeld tells why I made that ad for the grader. The opening line is, it was never for the money, that's for sure. There's a quote from Jerry. I don't think too much about money these days. I like to do things because they feel right. This ad just felt right.
What?
Because he's doing bits.
It's not a fucking answer.
But he must have known the bank.
No, but maybe they just did a good pitch. Like, maybe they wrote those bits. Like, yeah, the bank's weird. Like, you're depositing. And he's like, oh, all
and
right.
He's like, yeah, this is,
it's
I could
an
use
umbilical
this.
Brother situation.
They like, just liked it. They were like, hey, yeah, do this. And he liked it. He said yes.
What? That's
and they would have paid it's him, actually, like, nothing.
He probably got paid, in all seriousness, a small, like, maybe for 300 grand, which is a lot.
I reckon less. I reckon he did it for 50. But, like,
when you think, like, if he did, like, what's the biggest bank in the world? I don't know, like, whatever, Citibank or whatever, it's a big bank.
Mm.
Maybe he would get 500 million, you would think?
Jerry Seinfeld? No, that's way too much.
You don't reckon?
500 million is crazy.
To be a part of,
I guess,
like,
to be the
big,
face of a bank
a
is
a face
huge.
Of a bank. Cause it's
but, yeah,
like,
500 million is a lot. That's, like, that's a lot.
I reckon you would get, maybe not 500, 100 million.
He's worth about 500 million.
Oh, yeah, that's half a billion.
Green buildings.
I think I was thinking like 50 million.
I think you were, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly. But like, even that's a bit too high. That's like two years of an NBA player's salary. I reckon, but yeah, like $10 million or something crazy. So
by the way,
like,
I got to tell you,
100 times less than that.
If you go on the.
He wouldn't have known where Newcastle was.
No, if you go on the Greater Building Society wiki page, it features very heavily.
I reckon
he
did it for free.
Seinfeld has only ever lent his name to two marketing campaigns, American Express and Microsoft.
Oh, American Express, he got the extra card.
Yeah, on Comedian. Yeah, he's got some black card.
So
yeah.
He did those two, and then he starred in the Greater Union Bank's ads for 3 years in Newcastle. So they would have shot a fair bit for it within one day.
It's so cute. He's
but
the
what?
King.
It's just like, why doesn't he go
it's
to
inspiring.
Africa
like
and build houses
pitch
or something?
Whatever you have to
anyone.
Oh, because it would have been easy for him. That would have been part of it as well. Like green screen, probably in
true.
Your.
He's
like,
got bank gear. There's no way he doesn't. He's already done American Express.
Exactly. So you're saying he's reusing. That
he's
would
got
be
the
good.
Leftovers from he's the American Express gear. Stuff that didn't get make that ad. He's like, oh, yeah, I got some other stuff.
But it was the. Was
he put
everyone...
the money in a building? Who's in charge of this building?
The stuff that got cut because the credit card doesn't work like that. It's like, it's lending technically. They're like, no, it's not a
so
bank.
So it's theory. A piece of plastic?
Maybe.
How's it work?
Maybe they're like, if you had a it's credit, if you had days. A credit union, this material might work. Give me a credit union.
They pitch to the bank. We'll do it for 50K. We'll pay you. We just need to get this gear out there.
What was the, like in Newcastle, what was the atmosphere? Because I remember seeing that and being confused, but also not really, like, I was like, that's fucking weird, but not understanding it fully.
It should have just been fucking Carl Barron or something, right?
Like, well, even he's too big in my head.
It's so funny that Carl Barron is too big for this ad, but Jerry Seinfeld is in the ad.
He's one of the most famous people on the planet.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were talking about him on
Seinfeld.
The way here.
Oh, yeah. Someone said to, so funny. whenever people state the obvious, it's so funny. But someone said to me the other day, you know who's really good? Jerry Seinfeld. And it just cracked me up.
It's so funny.
I was like, yeah, I know. All right. It's really famous. And then someone else in the same week said, I've been watching The Simpsons lately. It's really funny. I couldn't believe it.
It's just unreal.
Like, are you out of your fucking mind?
Like, I do know that people come to things at different times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, how could then you have avoided? Then you have to catch
it. Yeah.
In a bit of that way, like I've been looking back and like maybe a bit more of a specific critique based on, but you can't just be like,
you need a new take.
Muhammad Ali, my God, what an influential figure.
Really good fighter.
Tough guy. Scary. It's like, what's happened?
Yeah, we know. That's the thing. Yeah. Everyone knows it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he's on t-shirts and stuff. We know.
What do you think of these non-alcoholic beers that we're drinking?
I forgot that they were non-alcoholic, which I think is a...
Well, there's a little bit of alcohol in them, as much as a lemon so lime bitters.
It's but that's like zero. False advertising situation.
They said it's impossible. Yeah, you could drink as many as you want.
Less than 0.5% alcohol. Interesting.
Because when it's that low, apparently they can't track it.
That's a little loophole for the alcoholics out there. Told.
Can't track it.
If anyone out there, well, someone's tracked it enough to put the label on the can.
Come on, no.
So they must be able to track it a little bit.
Nah, it's just in there. It's just less than five. Some could be five, some could be. It's just like
I think it can get like PE players in trouble when they have to have zero levels.
I Googled today, can you drink non-alcoholic beer while driving?
Oh.
And no one knows.
No, of course you can. It's non-alcoholic. Well, not if it has 0.5.
Well, there's actually it's got 0.5 if it's less than 0.5.
But not all. If you've got no
actually,
alcohol.
I personally think you shouldn't be because I was just in the car with you and you were very bad at driving.
No, Tom.
No, you were.
No, this is
a thing. I think it's fair to say people that often he did an illegal move and it endangered several lives.
I did, I did two illegal moves in like 20 meters.
He didn't push back on that like phraseology.
No, there was
like, a few illegal moves and then he did his hand like this, like he's never been zapping.
No, but there was no other option.
That's a man familiar with illegal moves.
There were other options. We just didn't want to be late.
Yeah.
Well, you know what Tom's like when you're late or something.
But it was bad. Like you endangered.
It was so bad.
What did you do?
Pedestrians and traffic.
I was trying to cross.
And me, Precious Cargo.
You also more, because it was your side. If we copped it, it would have been your, the passenger would have been.
You do forget that when you're, because I think I do my most dangerous driving when I'm alone.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when you've got a guest in the car, you will revert back to alone driving. And particularly when the dangerous move is like all.
Oh, yeah.
You're like,
that's
oh, that's
so. No, it's just not. On that side of
the car. Almost killed.
That's usually your instinct. Like,
oh. I almost killed Cameron and a lovely woman who was crossing the.
She was not happy.
She said to me.
Oh, you got yelled at.
Yeah. What the just a fuck are you ago. Doing? She said, what the fuck are you doing? What's wrong with you? I think she said.
And Sam said, you shouldn't have been looking at your phone. And he was in the middle of two illegal moves.
No, I whispered that. I whispered that to Cameron.
She was looking at her phone.
She wasn't
also,
looking up.
She wasn't expecting.
If she looked up, she would have seen what I was trying to do. And she would have been like, oh, yeah, come through. Because I I had to illegally cross three lanes of traffic where I shouldn't have been. And then the lights went green, so these cars were and they had no idea I was doing this. And
there at a green light?
And then I'm
crossing. Or a pedestrian crossing or what?
No, so I'm crossing, you know, the Chippo Hotel.
Yeah.
I'm crossing Abercrombie to come onto
an illegal move.
Which is illegal. You're supposed
to turn
go,
right.
You're supposed to turn. You're supposed to turn, but you can just go straight.
Oh, to go.
You would have done that a million times.
Yeah.
I've done it. We've all done it.
No, that's it.
Okay,
but it is an illegal move in peak hour traffic.
Peak hour traffic, they're crossing. So it's like.
Oh, they're queuing.
Yeah. He's trying to like weave through.
And I'm trying to get across. And then I get to the other side and there's a woman just on her phone, like just jaywalking through. And so I try to zip through.
I'm on your side.
And then she looks up at me and she goes.
She's jaywalking.
She goes, what the fuck are you doing?
I don't think she was jaywalking. She was on a crossing.
No, she didn't have a green man, though.
No green man?
She had no green man.
All right, well, I take it all back.
Yeah.
No, but I also was like not.
She had two red
men. I didn't go back at her.
One was in the car, one was
I was
on
just
the
like, you know, apologies, et cetera.
You didn't.
No, I was doing a lot of hand movements to be like, as
you did
were.
Do a lot of hand
I was like,
movements.
As you were. Like, continue across.
You did say, sorry about five times. And then as we sped away from her at breakneck speed, You said she shouldn't have been looking at her phone, and she was jaywalking.
That's true. Yeah, like, I said all of that.
Good little insight into like when you see people rationalize. It's fun.
I always rationalize
it. Like, oh, so that's how you get away with that. I
still rationalize it. If she had seen what I was trying to do from the start, she would have got behind it and supported it because makes so much sense. Otherwise, I've got to go. Who knows how long? Oh.
So you think she would have
maybe 10 meters to the legal right?
Was there another one that close?
Yeah,
it's right there. I actually pointed at it and said, you can go down that alley.
Mate, I didn't hear.
But you were not listening.
At this point, I didn't even know you were in the car.
I'm going to retract 10 and say 7 meters.
I was in my own world. All I could think of was like, Cameron will be impressed if I pull this. And now I'm copying some huge backlash for it.
Well, I've recently just totally come around to the rules. After all these years of being a rule breaker and a bit of a bad boy, I now am all about the rules.
I feel like at some point you stop speeding a bit.
Next minute you're a Republican. This is what happens.
Not for that big a leap. I don't know if you get from that to right wing.
Start stopping at oranges. Next thing you know, you're moving to America.
Registering to vote in
Texas.
Do you follow the road rules now?
I just have spoken about this with a few friends, and I think I'm still a bit zippy. And but I've been driving. I only started when I was like 23, 24.
Oh, you got a bit
some of my friends that. I mean, still, that's
what are you still on your green peas?
No, but
that's such a funny insult.
No, look at him. You're still on his green peas.
Still on your L's, are you?
I hate those little ones because there's no good way to respond. Of like, no, I'm not.
No, I'm not. I'm on my full license.
Dude, can you do 110 on the highway? Or what, you're still at 90?
That was so annoying. That was the worst bit about having your peas.
It was huge.
Let me just go. It's actually unsafe for me to go.
I'm pissing everyone off behind me.
Yeah, exactly. Really big time pissing everyone off.
But I don't do as much. I can feel it going down. A classic one would be getting in the left lane on the reds to like zoom in front of people and kind of overtake. All those little wins that I kind of naturally look for on the roads. I kind of find my interest in those waning, but they're not dead yet.
They will hang around.
Mine have started dying, and I used to love having a speeding partner on the F3 or something. Like, dude, if I'm driving Newcastle.
I was thinking about this the other day. A little buddy that you a can buddy. Like. What's like guys a Peloton?
Go, well, we're in this together.
No, it's a Peloton. You take turns in just like.
Yeah. If the cops are up here, they can't get both of us. No, you know, it'll be one of us.
Exactly.
That's all you think about. You go, I'm definitely doing the same speed as them, and we're both 20 kilometers over.
Yeah, if we're both doing 140, it's fine. It actually is fine.
Totally. And if everyone's doing it, then that's just the new speed limit.
God, it would be exciting to lock in behind someone doing well over the speed limit and keep up with them.
But then that's what I do sometimes because I'm in the like the overtaking lane or whatever, overtaking, and then someone gets up behind me, and there's still a few people to overtake because they're going real slow. So I'm staying in like the right lane. But they're kind of, in my mind, they're mad at me, so I go fast.
Yeah.
And then I'm speeding.
They're all mad at me.
But I feel like maybe they weren't mad. Maybe they were just trying to be friends. I never thought of that possibility, that they wanted to be speeding buddies. But,
dear Lord. The
illegal moves, speeding buddies.
The mind games on the highway that I play with myself, that exact same thing, like pulling out. Oh, you like think everyone's looking at you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like, no, we're just driving. We don't care. But at the same time, I will be furious.
If people don't get out of that right lane, they get pissed off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just beeping. I was talking to someone recently at a gig this week, and they mentioned wearing AirPods while they were driving.
Crazy.
Is that illegal?
I'm not sure, but I do that sometimes.
Do you know, one time I put my noise-canceling headphones on.
I did it last week. You couldn't hear it. Like, I didn't know
it's actually crazy.
If I was on, if I was rolling.
Yeah,
like,
that's. Are we listening to music?
I might be dead right now.
Yeah, I was listening to just a Spotify playlist.
Actually, it does make you feel like you're on a higher plane, just drifting. It already feels like a fucking video game driving.
Oh, yeah totally. It's not real. It's not real. It's actually not real.
It's not real.
You do need to have that approach to be a good driver, I think.
Dude,
the people that are really
real.
kind of in tune with how dangerous it all actually is, you're going to be indecisive and die.
Well, if you were realize, if you're like you're a foot off the ground traveling, it's like if you thought about what could happen, it's like you would never get in a car.
That's my least favorite thing about driving is because you assume everyone's a logical actor and they're all kind of and you understand people are different levels of selfish and might make rash decisions or something, but like you think everyone's pretty on top of it and. You're driving with that assumption in mind. And then sometimes you see into it and you just see the stupidest guy. You're like, my life is in that guy's hands. Like, oh, my God. It's scary. Sometimes there's people you see behind the wheel. It just gives you less confidence.
And then sometimes you're that person. to other people. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was minutes ago. Yeah. Because I think I'm quite a good driver and I've been driving for ages.
You did a good hill start when I was in the car with you about a month ago.
Yes.
Which I complimented you
yes,
on.
Yes. I appreciated that because I got such a heavy.
You giving a compliment for heavy, a hill start?
Oh, but it was like a steep incline, but not on a hill, but just like a weird thing that he was on, only him. So the people behind were like close and also wouldn't be sympathetic. It's
and
not
I've
like
got
everyone
was
on the
heavy,
hill. It was just
a
him.
Very heavy clutch.
Oh, I mean, I didn't know about that.
Well, I think Tom's just started driving manual as well, maybe he appreciates it more in retrospect.
But this person I was talking to this week, we started with AirPods. Like I said that, you know, I'd done that before. And that's, you know, not ideal, particularly if it was noise cancelling. That came out, like noise cancellation, probably the limit. And then this girl says, yeah, sometimes I'll have my phone playing episodes of The Office.
No.
It escalates too quick.
That's bad.
I've been in similar conversations.
And I got really like, this was like a younger person. I don't know how much younger, not that much younger, but I became like, I'm like, you can't do that.
That's crazy.
Like, that's, you will die. Like,
yeah.
You can't be watching television and driving. I'm sorry. That's too,
I think that's
horrible.
That's
too much. And she's like, I don't look. I just
as
listen.
If you don't.
And it's like, if someone's like, oh my God, look at his ass. You're looking.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
I mean?
It's physical comedy. You're having a look.
Steve Carell is actually.
Steve Carell, one of the most famous physical comedians.
Slapstick heavy. So, a lot of visual gags.
You're having a look, I reckon.
Years ago, a similar thing happened to me. I was in the back of a cab in Melbourne, and the cab driver was like, do you mind if I take a call? And me, I think I was with my friend Barnty. We were both living down there. And we're like, yeah, go for it, whatever. Ring someone. And then we're kind of chatting away. He gets off the phone and then puts a cricket match on his phone, like he's streaming a cricket match, just pops it on the dash. So it's just kind of going. And he's like, yeah, I'd just like to follow up with the scores. And we were like really drunk. But I remember being like, oh, I reckon tomorrow I'll think that this was not on.
Yeah, I mean,
not
and that's on. The most
in the moment
passive
I didn't
viewing.
Tell
that's
him
the
not
bottom
to do
of
it.
The rung as well, because that's the most kind of passive thing you could watch. I reckon cricket.
You can
well, cricket
actually
I think
put
is
on
almost
the radio.
Cricket's almost well, yeah, but cricket's almost like God. You'd be unlucky to crash.
Still the little
watching a
glances.
Game.
I mean, you should be watching the. I mean, we were talking about ears before. Ears are used to see if. Often before a crash, there'll be a sound, a beep, but like, you need
Look,
your
let's
ears.
Let's be real, you use all the senses when you're in there.
So you've got your mouth on the wheel licking it.
Well, you don't realize.
You're tasting the traffic.
Well,
you
don't realize how much you need your ears till you pop the noise cancelling headphones on.
And then you go, I'm in space
like,
right
where
now.
The fuck
but look,
am
there's,
I?
There's a line somewhere there, but I feel like what everyone can probably agree on is that you need your eye. Like, if you take eyes out of the game, what are we even.
Yeah. That's the number one, I think.
Please.
Yeah.
Maybe you could, if you were behind a very like bad polluting car. You could maybe close your eyes and rely on smell.
No.
You could follow them.
You can't follow this. Well, you can't follow your nose.
I'll follow this truck.
Just
by polluting truck.
Just through sniffs. And then you can watch The Office.
And pray to God you don't get a cold.
Well, you know what? Have you ever driven?
Then the you're in trouble. Yeah.
That's actually how most of the COVID deaths happen. People who can't smell or
trying to
taste.
Drive by smell alone.
Exactly. They love The Office. They've got COVID and they're fucking dead.
What am I going to do? Not watch The Office?
This is me.
Yeah, you fucking
like,
mind?
Yeah.
It's a 25-minute drive. I have to watch something.
She's like, it's good. It's like, we know.
Yeah,
it's
we
one
know,
of those famous shows.
Everyone knows about it.
Simpsons.
You're not special.
What did she come back with when you said you shouldn't?
I think that she got it. A bit defensive.
Like, well, yeah, I would say so.
Because I was being like what you could, I mean, put in the category of patronizing or kind of, it wasn't my place to start telling her what to do, but also
I think it is
I decided
when it comes to safety.
I feel like
no,
I just decided in my head
that,
to
though.
Be like, I think I can.
Yeah.
You know, just be a bit more serious and be like, don't do that.
Don't do that ever again.
I didn't say that.
Because I care about you.
I used her name a few times, which I won't say.
Eye contact, name.
I'm like, name, that's unsafe.
Yeah.
You'll hurt someone.
Did you touch her?
She'll remember that.
Did you like pop your hand on her shoulder?
I think she'll remember that.
I mean, next time you do it, I think that's the kind of thing where it's like, oh, someone actually went like, oh. Like it wasn't jokes. Yeah.
No, but this is what happened. And I do this as a bit now. When I was, my phone rang and I was at the lights and I answered it. And this guy next to me goes, he's like, get off the phone, you cunt. And then, like, just was screaming at me. And I remember he kept being like, he goes, I've gotten through to you, haven't I? I've changed your mind. And I was like, oh, I don't know, man. Like, just waiting for the lights to go
that's
green.
That's key. You can't gloat about having gotten through because like they won't let you in.
No, but he had because I'd
I can see.
I'd
no, I can see. Yeah.
I've won
a glimmer in your eye has changed and I can
I'm
going to
tell my wife this was a success.
Yeah. She always says you yell at people too much and I say one day it'll sink in. Today's
and this is
the day. I can tell from your face.
And I didn't come into this
but
needing
I
that
stopped.
To happen and
I hung up the
even
phone.
Though I wasn't there.
I hung up the phone, so it's like I kind of did. Like he, yeah. There's evidence there to suggest that he did get through to me.
Well, he got through to you in that immediate moment because you didn't want a man to keep screaming.
Like,
at
what
you.
Are you going to do? You go like, fuck off, old man. Keep talking to your girlfriend or whoever.
Talking to the idiot police. They sat there, a big fan of yours.
Yeah. As they I mean, come that would have
been
jail.
That would have been unreal. To just start, be like, dude, you know who I'm calling? The fucking
your
mayor.
Mum, mate. Your mum's on the other end. And she's thanking me for everything I did last night, okay?
I cooked her dinner. I did her gardening. It's can like, you believe that? After how many fucks we did before?
So why don't you drive away?
Real life heckle responses, like, just don't go well. Like, no one driving past would be like, oh, that's so funny, dude.
It's just so long. And it just be like, takes so long to say all that shit.
Yeah, you've just got, like, this platform when you do stand-up to respond to people.
Did you guys ever try the heckler line, I don't come down to where you work and kick the dicks out of your mouth?
No. I wish I wrote it.
I think I tried it very early on and it got no laughs. And there's no greater humiliation.
So to be clear for the listener, there is a, I assume there was the first comeback maybe decades ago where someone yells out and the implication is obviously, you know, the comedian's at work and someone's disturbing their performance. They say, hey, I don't come down to you, where you work and ruin your job. Yeah. You know, you're at my job. And
which is pretty good if you're the first one to think of that.
Well, it's a good, it just puts it in perspective for the audience. And I'd imagine it encourages people to shut up. And there was a Seinfeld episode about that. But I think subverting that, now people
I love
say,
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld is actually
he's really funny.
He's so good.
You know he's in some ads in Newcastle.
No way, dude. Yeah. How'd they get him?
You know what? Watching Seinfeld in the car, acceptable.
Yeah, that's the one I will forgive. I'll forgive that.
Exactly. If I'm going to die, it's going to be to the best
it's
comedy
be my four
sitcom
best
of all time. Exactly. But, some people will say back, hey, man, I don't come down to your, at this point, we're alluding to, you know, the thing from before. I don't come down to your work and knock the dicks out of your mouth.
Yeah.
It's like,
which is, what's the implication there? That they work
that
as
they
a
are
worker.
Sex worker. Prostitute.
Yeah.
Which
sucking
is.
Sucking off.
A slam.
Penises.
Yeah.
I mean,
think
it's
I've
a hell
also
of a tag.
Heard, I went to New York when I was like 19 and I went to a taping of the Colbert Report.
Report.
And that was very exciting. And there was a warm-up guy. And I remember the warm-up guy was asking questions and doing crowd work. And he asked me stuff. I think I just wanted to be involved. I remember that feeling. Oh, I really wanted to be involved.
Well, did you stand up?
I think he asked about like how far people had come. And then someone else got credit for being from another country. And then I was like,
excuse me. Excuse me, I'm from Sydney.
And then he moved on. I'm like, no, I win this thing.
23 hours on a plane.
Exactly. So I yelled out and then he turned to me and said, I don't come down to you work, to where you work and, you know, ruin you while you're handing out fries and milkshakes.
Oh,
I work at McDonald's.
A cleaner version of
But then you should have been like, "Well, if you heard what I said earlier, I'm from Australia and
I'm a student.
I'm a student, and the award wage is actually quite high, so that's a very respectable job in Australia.
And they actually put you through university.
Yeah. Some of the
I'm a part of a family.
Political things that this satire program is trying to address. So you need a writer.
Sorry,
or someone.
Nice try, dickhead. Yeah. So you've had it. You've had it called,
and
you?
But and it. Destroyed. And I
did
loved it?
It
as well. I couldn't believe it. Like, it was very quick.
You did should you have think said, this is the funniest thing anyone's ever said?
I mean, because I was involved, it was up there. Like, it was a
so
four
you
moment.
Loved it. You loved it.
Oh, yeah. It was great. And then I think, yeah, I heard that line at some point. At
you
some
hear
gig.
Someone say it at some point. Mm. I remember trying to say it very early
but
on.
But because it's got a bit of a twist in it, it's difficult. It's easy to say wrong, I feel like.
And
it's like,
also,
I don't come down and fuck you while you're...
I think you need a certain attitude to be able to pull it off,
right?
And I don't think I naturally have that attitude. I'm not someone who you could imagine saying that in the real world.
Yeah.
I'm not out there in the real world going, hey, excuse me, I don't come down to where you work and knock the cocks out of your mouth. Like, it doesn't quite work with my face actually, and voice.
And I don't think I've really thought about this, but it's a very intense thing to say. It's, like,
it's huge.
It's crazy.
It's a huge call.
Yeah.
And if I did know that person was a sex worker, I definitely wouldn't go down there.
Well,
and
that's what.
Dicks
what
out
if
mouth.
You did say?
Oh, totally.
I'd support what if they're, them.
They're,
I used
like,
to. I go
I'm
down and join the queue.
I'm a sex worker.
And then you dick suck.
I don't come down to where you work.
I
want to
be at comedy.
Line up for a dick suck.
Actually, I do every weekend. See you next Tuesday.
And you keep turning me away because my dick's too weird.
Because I keep coming on the shows and yelling at you. But then, yeah, the other logic is that if you did go down and as a comedian to the where the dick sucking was happening, and like ruin it all and like run in like and like knock the dicks out of everyone's mouths, they're like, oh, get this guy out of here. He's costing us hundreds of dollars. All the Johns are like, oh, this is a weird place to get your dick sucked. I'm never coming back here again. They come over to you, they grab you, they're like, you fucking asshole, you've ruined hundreds of dollars. You'd be like, look. Feel free to come heckle.
Yeah. Hey, in fairness, you, I'm a comedian.
You can come heckle because yeah. I did come down.
Because you guys didn't get your...
Usually I say,
you've got
I
a
don't
free
come down.
Yeah, you guys are
but
fine.
You did, you,
hey, anyway. Sorry. I know you guys are just trying to get your dick sucked. And I don't want to get in the way between a man and his dick and stuff. Yeah, but
exactly.
But in fairness, they did heckle me a few months ago.
The worst though, then if they did come and heckle you, and then they're heckling you, and you turn around to like get them, and then you see it's them, you'd have to be like, oh fuck, fair play.
I don't come. Oh.
Sorry, guys.
Exactly. Shout out
to the rest of the crowd. Like, yeah, I made a deal with them.
I said they could come.
Hey, man. Good on you.
Thanks for coming to the
We're
show.
We're even now. Yeah.
I come down to where you work and I knock the dicks out of your mouth.
And I'm sorry about
it. I really apologize.
Well, it's not even being sorry
I still
about
feel
it.
Terrible.
It's almost like just a perfect working relationship. It's like you want to go and knock
I don't
the,
know if it's right.
You want to knock the dicks out. You enjoy knocking. They like heckling. You enjoy knocking
you
the
enjoy
dicks
knocking
out.
Dicks.
You're both getting something out of it.
It's a real give take, isn't
well,
it?
I suppose if you are going down to form this
if
relationship
going
based on the,
regularly.
You can't hate the heckling. Yeah. But similarly, if he's coming back to the show after, he can't
it
hate
makes
the
me
dicks
think it's all part of it. Like, it's all part of the whole
economy?
Sexual experience in the economy. Oh. It's like, the it's dick's all... getting knocked out of the mouth and,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah,
then the
yeah,
yelling.
Yeah.
It's like all a big psychosexual drama.
Totally.
And I don't really want a part of it.
No.
I'm happy to just sort of knock the milkshakes out of people's hands and stuff.
You want to work at McDonald's?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even then that still presents the same similar kind of issues. You're still down at McDonald's knocking milkshakes out and then they're coming to the shows again. It's just like too much of a round circle of work.
It's like I want to perform, especially if I'm doing new in front of people that
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes friends will come along and you'll be like, oh, like I, you know, just feel a bit more nervous because I want to do well in front of them. I don't want them to think that it's always this bad if it goes badly or whatever. It's like, and even that's a bit anxiety inducing. I can't imagine the anxiety if it's someone who last, you went to their work and just saw their penis.
Slammed a few dicks out of
them. Slapping their penis and there was all this commotion. It's like, that's one, probably
well, that's
would
it.
Be one of the most intense experiences of my life socially.
It's
and then I've got to, they've got to watch me perform. Like, I've got to try and be funny. It's like, I'm not feeling humorous. I'm feeling scared and
I'm
apologetic.
So glad you said slap the dicks. Because that's what I visualize too. I don't picture like
no,
you're slapping dicks out of
it's mouth. It's like there's a lineup. It's like there's 10 people lined up in a row all getting their dicks slapped and you're just running through going bam, 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 bam.
Slapping them all. It's all just too much. I probably wouldn't perform for a few weeks after that.
But he did.
That's why you never use that line. Because it gets you into all this kind of trouble. Okay?
So any young comedians that are listening, just don't do it.
Don't use a line.
It's not worth it.
Absolutely not. I mean, it did come number one on Hottest 100 last year. To be fair,
it is a hit. It is a hit.
Not the one of just last year, the one of the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Hottest 100.
Hottest 100 of all time.
I think maybe it came second to Who's on First.
That one, I don't get that one. I still don't get it.
Yeah.
Who's the guy's name?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But
so what's the confusion?
But
I don't want to dig into this one.
I'm trying to think of a way to say what to mean two things. This is the trouble with bits like that. It is like maths or something. It's like,
oh, I know.
You're like, oh, it is actually
so frustrating.
At some point as well, they just need to like have a new approach to explaining stuff.
Mm.
Like sometimes it's good to just get a piece of paper out and like maybe spell it out.
Guy's name is who. I've only heard Who's on First once or twice, and each time I've just gone, guys, just shut up for a second and one of you needs to say the guy's name is who.
His last name is who?
No.
I've never heard this.
The guy's last name is who. Is it who? Are you kidding? You don't know Who's on First?
Who's on Lizzie who?
Lizzie Who's on First.
Lizzie Who's, is that the bit? Lizzie Who's on First.
It's a famous bit.
I've never heard it.
It actually happened to me. I had I went to a primary school with a girl called Jenny Who, H-W-U, and I was in year one. And I think for some reason we were both in the principal's office and then she went to the bathroom or something. I don't think we were in trouble, but we were there to like tell her something or whatever, and she needed our names. She's like, what's your name? Tom Cashman. And then I said, and she said, what's that other girl's name? And I said, Jenny Who. And she was like, Jenny Who? And I was like, Jenny Who? Like, I was too young for it to be funny. I'm like getting frustrated. I was the bit. I think that would make sense maybe if one of the people in the sketch was six.
Okay, but so two we're adult punching men, up it doesn't. Whoever the fuck wrote that bit. We're punching it up for them.
Yeah, no, I think so. Yeah,
well, I think exactly. We punched up dicks out of the mouth as well. Like, that was, they got, imagine if, like, they wrote that first bit and then you're like, by the way, here's another 10 minutes on that we really unpack it. You'd be like, great, that's a closer.
But then that's the trouble, Sam, because then you want to close on that. You start encouraging hecklers. Yeah. And all of a sudden you're using the line heaps. And then that's how you get down, slapping the actual dick. Yeah. So you get addicted to the drama.
How often are you going to go down there? You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, well, you know, you're a comedian. You don't work during the day.
Yeah.
You only work an hour a night.
When do you think that dicks are getting sucked?
Is that your favorite thing comedians
say? An hour
say?
A day. They say, yeah, I'm a comedian. I only work an hour a day. It's like, come on, you got to travel to the gig. Like,
you're writing bits.
It's like, there's more to it than
documents.
That. Yeah.
Got to do so promo,
admin,
running your social media.
Yeah,
these days it's not just the performing. Come on, mate. This guy doesn't have Instagram. Clearly, they never do.
Yeah.
Speaking of, we don't.
Oh, we've got to go. Do you want another non-alcoholic beer?
Yeah.
Do you want to come? What are you doing?
I have a bit more work to do, but then I might come.
Yeah, you should come.
Yeah,
come. Please, if you do come to the gig tonight, don't knock the dicks out of our mouths.
Oh.
Do you want to, you're hosting, you have a great chance. Also, you said once something like,
I get to say it.
These boys were like,
We could do it. I could yell out.
Oh, fuck. I'll Should film it. I've got my little tripod thing. I could film it. Dude.
Yeah, okay. I'll yell something like that and you're like,
hey, what? Pal, excuse me. I don't come down to where you work and knock the erect penises out of your mouth.
Oh, that was
and
sick.
We can put the audio in the app. That would actually.
Oh, should we do it? It's pretty bold. I reckon we should do it.
You could get it back in like the top of the second half, whatever.
I actually think it would just kill at the Comedy Store.
I think you'd get enough laughs, and then you could just go into a bit and it wouldn't be that bad.
I think you always think that it doesn't, like, it'll work for sure with a bit of charm.
But then
if Cameron smiles when he does it, I think it's fine.
Yeah, I agree. Yes. I think I need to do enough of the heckler. Like, the heckler needs to be annoying enough to deserve that intense statement. So I think it would have to be like, what do I have to yell? Like, yeah, right.
I reckon, or not
and
funny.
Then you go, what's that? And I'm like,
get a life. Yell out for me to get a life.
What if it get a life? See, this is the trouble. That's not my vibe either. Both of us are struggling with the vibe. I'm not a guy who yells out, get a life.
Yeah, right. Oh, fuck. We actually do have to go.
Yeah, no, okay. Totally.
Go. End it.
When it comes to your money, you don't want great. You want greater. It's like maximum. When I go to a drugstore to get pain medication, I want maximum strength. Figure out what will kill me and then back it off a little bit. Where are you from?
Here.
Well, it's nice to have you back.
The Greater Building Society has one of the highest customer satisfaction ratings in the world. If you want to know why, speak to an expert. Ask a greater customer.
Anybody here from Wagga Wagga? Don't miss me next week. I'll be in front of the laundromat. I'd like to talk to you about a home loan. Not for me, for you. I have a home.
Get a Getaways home loan from The Greater. It could be the most fun financial decision you'll ever make. Just ask a Greater customer.
When we shopped around for a home loan, we found The Greater had one of the lowest interest rates.
And a free holiday with over 200 choices, and there were no catches.
Get a Getaways home loan and go on a free holiday. Or loan us some money and we'll go on a holiday. Either way, someone's getting out of here.
I love this show. I always feel you can work a little racy after lunch. And I'll tell you something about love. Love is two people trying to stay together without saying the words, I hate you. You say other things. Things like, why is there never any sticky tape in this house? You don't say, I could kill you right now. You say, you're so funny sometimes. That's what love is.
One thing we do love about being with the Grader is that you get a free holiday when you get a home loan.
We've been on three holidays already.
I have 72 shows next week out the back of Bert. Good seats are currently available. In fact, all seats.